Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Why are they the ultimate? Well, one of the reasons is because they're going to help you with ICD-10, the transition to the new codes. You need to know it, and you probably don't know it as well as you should. Check them out at www.webpt.com/podcast to find out more about ICD-10 for a free demo and a lot more. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders, part of the UpDoc media family. Dr. Gene Shirok abroad here with Dr. Ersin Religioso. Urs, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Gene?
Not too bad. Man, over the last few weeks, I'm actually losing track now. I keep saying over the last few weeks, but I feel like we've recorded so many episodes lately that I'm not quite sure we're in the continuum of launching episodes where we are anymore. But we've recorded some really cool ones over the last few weeks.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, sometimes it's with me, sometimes it's without me. We got a lot coming in the queue, definitely.
That's for sure. I mean, some really, really cool ones, and not just in physical therapy. We've had some really cool guests in the marketing world. One of my favorite blogs, you've probably already listened to this podcast at this point, but Neil Patel was on the podcast, and I really love Neil's marketing and just personal branding information. And he puts out like crazy blog posts. Like, he has like 30,000 word blog posts with some insane information. So if you've never checked him out, I mean, definitely check out Neil Patel. But, we, you know, we talk about business, we talk about all kinds of stuff, but, you know, Urs, you live the business world. Even though you love the clinical stuff, you make your career on the clinical stuff, but you can't have a good clinical base if you're running your own business. You still have to know that business stuff as much as you love talking about the clinical stuff, right?
Yes, that's true. I would say clinical is my strength, and I recognize my weaknesses when we talk about business. And when we have a business-based guest on, you know, I kind of defer to them, and I just love to learn and listen to them. But it also makes me realize, wow, I don't know how I got to where I am right now.
You've said that to me before, and it's always a funny line because you are very successful. You know, if you define success, you're doing well, you're growing, your company's growing, you're launching the Garage series, continuing at course with us, part of UpDoc Media. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely check out the Garage series on UpDocMedia.com and all the stuff that you're doing. But you've told me, like, you yourself have learned a lot on this podcast with our guests that have been on about business and marketing. So I think it was natural for us to bring in pretty much the leading expert, and we already had one with Aaron LeBauer about Cash PT, but that wasn't enough for us. We needed another source, and actually Ann Wendell, but we need another source, a prominent source in the Cash PT Medicare world to drop some knowledge on us and just let us know what the hell is going on. Plus, he's from Texas, so we'll see. Everything's bigger in Texas, so I'm sure the information and knowledge bombs are going to be giant as well. So, Urs, Let's keep going with the with you honoring our guest with the introduction.
Interest. Right. I've been thinking about this all day, actually for the last 5 minutes only.
That's pretty much
it. I didn't just wake up 5 minutes ago, if that's what you're thinking. Yeah, you know, when I think cash PT and when I was going cash-based PT a little over a year ago, I thought of asking the advice of one of two people. One of them was Dr. Aaron LeBauer and the other one was Dr. Jared Carter. And Jared and I have been trying to either podcast together or do interviews or something. But man, people think I'm busy. Every time Jared's like, hey, I think I want to get you on a podcast. What are you doing in January 2018? Because that's when I'm next free. And I might be exaggerating 1%, but that's why I feel like this is the first time I've actually got to hear his voice live. So I'd like to welcome to Therapy Insiders Dr. Jared Carter, his expertise, and he's probably one of the first ones out there blogging and producing products and webinars and ebooks on cash-based practice, and I think he'd be a great resource for us.
Welcome, Jared.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I had to bite my tongue and not crack up during that intro. That was great.
But yeah, that's how I try to like a little bit of awkward, a little bit of funny, a little bit of, why does Urson do this every week?
Plus, it'd be a little unfortunate, man, if you bit your tongue and just spoke like Daffy Duck with a lisp the rest of the podcast. Although humorous, exactly.
I mean, unfortunate. I almost busted up just a few times even before the intro on me. That was great. I love y'all's podcast and the way you banter, and I just think it's a really fresh approach to getting good content out, but in a relaxed way. And I'm just pumped to be here. This is great.
Well, we really appreciate that, and we're to kind of switch it back on you. We're big fans of everything you're putting out from the podcast. I actually started listening. I was listening to your podcast before this podcast was anything, and I really love the information and everything you're putting out. And you're kind of just getting started, I think, with just finding your groove. And it was a go-to. And what was your reasoning? Why did you want to get into podcasting? And how did you even get into this whole cash PT business side of the profession?
Well, I guess just to answer the podcasting question first, it was kind of a function of what I felt like was going to be, one, best for my audience, and two, something I was just interested in, because up to that point, which is now about a year and a half ago, I've been podcasting. Up to that point, it was all pretty much just blog posts written, and I had done some interviews of different cash-based practitioners via text, but obviously text interviews just don't really translate. So every time I do one of those, I was like, you know, this would be so good if we could have just, you know, gone back and forth and they were just answering, you know, a set number of questions, and I could just kind of ask questions based on the answer they just gave. So that's what spurred me on to start the podcast. And I'd say probably 75% of the podcast is interviews of others, and then the other 25% is me doing some sort of monologue or some sort of lesson on the cash practice model. And then what got me into the cash based, got me into cash based practice in general, or got me into teaching about it?
Well, both. What made you want to go cash PT? Because that's one of the most popular questions I know we get, especially for new grads that are listening. Shout out #DPT student. You know, they want to know is, you know, why cash PT versus insurance or even out of network? What made you choose cash PT?
Well, it was a result of, I guess, a number of things, but probably the primary two things were that I had the lucky experience of being able to work in both insurance-based practices and cash-based practices, and experience insurance-based models also in physical therapy school. So, and even before, obviously, with all the pre-PT school shadowing stuff. And then, you know, there was also the component of just looking at the trends and trying to, as I started thinking about doing my own business, you know, review what would likely come based on what has already come to pass. And, you know, if you look at the trends with insurance reimbursements, there's just really no denying the downward trend of what we're paid for our services. But meanwhile, of course, there's inflation of the dollar, and our costs of doing business are going to be steadily climbing. You know, everyone wants to, all our employees and everyone wants to get a raise every year. So the model in and of itself in its current form is really, in my opinion, fairly unsustainable. And so I think there's always going to be insurance as a part of the provision of physical therapy. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I think things are going to change drastically, and that almost every practice out there, unless you're like a huge corporation or hospital system, you're going to be forced to figure out ways to lessen your dependence on third-party payer reimbursement or payment, as Jerry Durham would want me to say.
Shout out.
Shout out. I'll donate that $5 sometime soon. I can't remember what that was going to. What was that? He had to donate $5 to something?
If somebody called it reimbursement instead of payment, then I get $5.
Okay, I'll send you $5 after this.
Deal.
But at any rate, the trends are clear, and people are going to have to get, practice owners are going to have to get very creative about how they decrease that reliance on private insurances and on Medicare. in order to not just survive, but really thrive moving forward. And so when I was looking at starting my own practice, between seeing that and just also having the experience and the freedom of being able to spend as much time as I want with each patient and getting paid at the time of service and keeping overhead and administrative staff low. And, you know, it, to me, it was just a no-brainer in terms of what I wanted to do. Now, in terms of executing, it's gone really well, no doubt. But that is a different animal altogether. You have to market, and the things you do around your cash practice and how you create it and market it are different than an insurance-based practice.
How long have you been doing this now, Jared?
I started my practice 5.5 years ago, the beginning of 2010.
Now, in Texas, sorry to cut you off first, but you know, I've been actually really curious about this for a while. In Texas, you don't have full direct access, right?
No. Yeah, we're one of just a handful, yeah, I think maybe 3 states now, that does not offer some level of direct access to treatment without a referral.
Oh, so not only do you do it bigger in Texas, you also do it dumber in Texas.
Dumber, yes. And that's in that area, absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, I get asked about that a lot, or actually an objection I hear or have heard until the last year or two, when more and more states got direct access to treatment, was, well, I don't have direct access in my state, so this is just not going to work. And you talk about direct marketing directly to the public and to non-physician sources. And I say, look, you know, I don't have direct access to treatment either, but you make it work. I mean, there are ways to do it. Most people that call me don't already have a referral, unfortunately, and then they have to go through the process of getting one, but it can work. It's a hurdle, but it's not a like total block to being successful in the cash practice model.
So how do you get past that hurdle?
So if somebody calls and they don't already have a referral. Now, I don't do this so much anymore myself. I train my assistant. I have a part-time assistant who does scheduling and calls and stuff like that virtually. But I've trained her to kind of go through the same process. And essentially, you say, you know, who told you about this? And if it wasn't a physician and they don't have the referral, then the next question I might ask is, have you seen a physician for this issue? Because a lot of times I've seen someone, but that physician did not tell them, hey, here's a referral, or hey, you should try physical therapy, but they've seen someone. And if it's been recent, I say, well, if you just saw him recently, you will probably be able to call that office and have them send me a referral to get started without having to go back in. Sometimes they can do that. If it's been a long time, they'll often ask them to go back in. And I say, look, if you have a relationship with your family practitioner or something like that, where you can make a call and avoid that trip in, great. But in the end, at some point, you know, they often do have to go in, whether it's even sometimes they'll just go to an urgent care, pay the copay, and get the referral on a walk-in basis. And then one of the other questions I'll throw in there before we start talking about like going to an urgent care if they don't have a family doctor or something like that, is, do you have any friends or family, anyone in your network that is not just any type of physician, but a dentist, a podiatrist, an advanced nurse practitioner, what else? A physician's assistant, or even a chiropractor from any state. Then if they have anyone in any of those categories, then they can usually reach out to them and get them to fax me a referral and not have to go see, you know, go through a physician visit. So it's absolutely ridiculous the amount of people that can write that referral and tell me when I can start treatment. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to have all those options and that it can come from any state. Because a lot of times somebody's got that, you know, aunt in Florida who's, you know, a dermatologist or something who is willing to send the referral. And so I get referrals that way all the time. Or like I get patients who can get referrals that way all the time.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting for when I saw some patients in Houston, and basically it was, I just had a buddy who was a chiro in a different state, and he was able to just send down referrals for those who who weren't part of the school that I was treating the athletes for. It was, it's pretty loose. It's like, hey, just some random person that you may or may not even know We can accept a referral from them, but I can't actually treat you otherwise, even though actually, you know, apparently it's safer for me to have direct access in New York than it is in Texas.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I could go on and on about it. I'm on the government affairs committee here, and here in Texas, the legislature only meets every 2 years. So we only get a chance at changing the law every other year. We don't even get to try each year. So that just went by again this year. So 2 years from now, we'll give it another shot.
That's insane. I mean, we're incredibly spoiled in Maryland because we pretty much have free reign to do whatever we want. And it's been great. We get a lot of support and we get a lot of push. Initially, I don't know, maybe we're so close to D.C. and we just nag the hell out of them until they just say, fine, treat your patients and save us a lot of money and get better outcomes and all that stuff. You know, fine, you PTs and your logic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I wish that nagging had more influence than the mighty dollar of the Texas Medical Association, because that's basically what we're up against. You know, it is like full on David and Goliath. And not that other states have not gone through that, but as far as I understand it, the Texas Medical Association is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful and wealthy of all the states. So it's tough, but you know, we'll keep fighting it.
Probably because they have the ability to carry handguns legally.
All right, they have 2-6 shooters, like the cowboy on The Simpsons. I just picture them like part of it. Shooting up the lobby.
I like revolvers a lot more than the semi-automatic pistols. Anyway, I'd go with the 6-shooters any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have 2 of them, right? You're allowed to carry them in Texas as long as what? They're visible? I forget. I've mentored 2 guys from Texas. Oh. They're like, yeah, we're allowed to carry as long as they're visible or something.
Yeah, so you can open carry, if I know the law correctly, you can open carry, but it has to be visible. But if you're going to conceal carry, which was what most people do, you have to get a concealed carry handgun license, and you know you have to go through a course and all this stuff and register with the state. But I mean, you know, I have a lot of patients that come in and they're carrying. You know, they got their gun on their ankle. I'm like, you have to remove that. I'm going to fix your sprained ankle.
You know? Maybe, no room
maybe
for
this
error
is part of why
clinic.
You sprained your ankle in the first place. Why don't you carry at the hip? You know,
I bet your outcomes improve a lot when somebody comes in carrying.
Oh man, I'm just ready to get them done and get them out. every time I go up to the Capitol to do any lobbying for direct access, like invariably, if I visit like 5 offices, I'll go in and at least one of them, the front staff guy will have like a gun by his computer just sitting there. It's awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, I know a lot of people are probably like shocked by that and kind of appalled, but. I mean, I just think it's an interesting scenario, I can tell you that.
If they're listening to our podcast, I'm pretty sure it takes a lot more than that for our listeners to get shocked and appalled at all the stuff that's come out of our mouths.
I mean, if I said that about New York, I think people would be shocked. I don't think with you being in Texas, I don't think anyone's actually shocked.
Yeah, probably not.
No, that's pretty much expected. All right, so from actual guns to figurative guns ablazing, which is what you're doing with the Cash PT frontier. You know, that's still, I feel like, a growing topic and a growing interest base, especially for the younger clinicians. I think for clinicians that are already established and have insurance-based companies, that they're interested, they think of it as maybe an adjunct model to have within their clinic. But I feel like the DPT students that listen and that send us emails and tweet at us are very interested in this Cash PT setup. And a lot of them are mm-hmm. thinking about starting out straight from school in a Cash PT model. Do you think that's something that's feasible, realistic, or even encouraged?
It's totally feasible because it's been done a few times for sure. I just spoke. I mean, I've been in contact with Kevin, Prue.
Sure, yeah.
And
spoken with him.
And you know, Aaron did it right out of school because you know. I mean, I feel like it's obviously doable because people are doing it. My personal suggestion though is to find a really badass mentor coming out of school. I mean, don't worry as much about what you're making. Like, if you can find somebody with a ton of credentials and just is incredibly good in that niche or that approach that you want to go into. So like I knew I was coming back to Austin, and I just got online and I was like, okay, who has the most credentials behind their name? And Urson, you know Mark Strickland really well. And so he popped up, and I wrote him directly. It wasn't that he was, advertising. I was like, hey, I'm graduating in a few months. You look like you know what you're doing. I was wondering if you had any space. And he was like, sure, let's meet when you come in town. And so I think seeking out a great mentor with skills and a good personality match with you that can really take you under their wing and help you to become a great clinician is the best approach. But yeah, I mean, we of course see people coming straight out of school and having success in the model, but I think long term, it's nice not only to get that mentoring, but also to have a lot of interaction early on with other clinicians, your other coworkers. You're often, at least when you're starting a cash practice, you're a solo practitioner. So you kind of get into your own little world there. And, there's only so many weekends you can head out to continuing ed, courses and stuff like that. So doable, but I suggest at least a couple of years with a good mentor and some good colleagues around you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think a lot of students who kind of worked possibly as a trainer or a similar kind of environment, they tend to have a bit more savvy and they're used to kind of just interacting and seeking out business for themselves. But otherwise, I mean, you can only go so far, I think, without a mentor. And the thing that you learn most from people's experience is really not only what to do, but really what not to do and what to expect and kind of know the ups and downs.
Definitely. And I learned some what not to do things from not just insurance-based practice owners, but also cash-based practice owners too. So you, no matter what practice you go into, like you're always going to learn both sides of that. Like you just said, Urson, that's really important for people to kind of just getting out of school, just make sure you remain a sponge to not just clinical information, but business information. And within a few years, I think that you're really going to be set up for more success than you would have had just trying it straight out of school.
Yeah. One thing that actually Mark told me probably 10 or 11 years ago when I was still a noob, I was only like 4 years out or so. He said, if you ever come work for me, because he was trying to get me to work for him for 10 years, and he might still be trying to do that. He might actually still be trying to do that. He said, I tell all my employees, be interested, not interesting. And I think that's just great advice, because it just means, listen to the patient as opposed to just try to be like the jokes or the personality.
Yeah. Yeah. He is awesome, man. I feel so blessed that I had a year with him out of school. He really was great.
Yeah. Let's talk about Medicare and some of your, more popular blog posts. I mean, I followed a Medicare blog post you wrote maybe over a year ago now, and every once in a while I'll still get a notification and I'm like, dang, Jared's still actually getting traffic on this blog post. Like, I don't know how many comments it's up to now, but on my more popular blog posts, people write like 3 or 4 comments and they'll never comment on it again.
Yeah. Those, just goes to show that people are like, well, I have to figure out how Medicare fits in this model. But I did the first kind of big Medicare post, I don't know, 5 years ago, only started the blog maybe 4.5 years ago, but 3.5, 4 years ago. And that one has like probably 80 plus comments on it. And then I did kind of an updated one a year after that. And that one also has like 80 something comments. And then I've done a few ancillary on like the mandatory claims exception rule and some of the other kind of hot topics within the topic of Medicare and cash pay. And those, I mean, yeah, it's obviously something that's really popular because you kind of have to know it. No one wants to like get into Medicare regulations. It's not fun to talk about, but it's unfortunately like a necessity to know how to navigate that population. Not and also not just if you have a cash-based practice or an out-of-network practice, but in any type of practice, because as we see, you know, more and more of the baby boomers exit the population, and more cuts to Medicare on the way. I actually was just creating a presentation that I'll be doing this weekend on this topic, and they're going to be. It's going to go from 40 million currently 40 million Medicare beneficiaries to 80 million Medicare beneficiaries. This is an estimate, obviously, but about it's going to double in 20 years. And so what Medicare so far has been doing is that they've essentially just been tracking inflation. I mean, in terms of therapeutic exercise, they've gone up in like 7 years, inflation adjusted, they've gone up like $1.50 per unit of therapeutic exercise in 7 years when you adjust for inflation. And if you look at the physical therapy eval code, it's actually gone down a little bit compared to 7 years ago if you adjust for inflation. So, you know, when you've got a doubling of the amount of people drawing out of the system, and you go from three plus people in the workforce for every one beneficiary to almost like just over two paying into the system for every Medicare beneficiary pulling out, we have a shitstorm on the way when it comes to how that system is going to remain solvent. And there is no mathematical way around, not just, you know, there's no way around reductions in what we get for our services from Medicare. I mean, they've been trying to hold steady, and that's great, but it's just not going to hold up. I mean, insurance, private insurances have been leading the way in reducing what they pay us now, but Medicare is going to catch up. And so knowing how to incorporate cash-based services for your Medicare-aged patients is going to become hugely important for practices when they realize, wow, I'm now making less for every Medicare patient I see than I have to pay to keep the doors open to see that patient.
Man,
at that point,
my head just started hurting from you just describing Medicare. And wait, you wrote a book on this stuff, right?
Yeah, it just came out at the time of this recording. Just came out, you know, 1 week ago.
How are you still sober,
dude? You guys got me to start drinking beer about 30 minutes ago, so I'm feeling better now. Feeling better now. But,
good lord, man!
It has been like. It has been full throttle with everything going on with the book and this event coming up, and I'm actually just now negotiating for bigger space to hire some staff, and so a lot going on all at once. But I mean, this, you know, it's just the way the timing worked out. But it's important, you know, this information has to get out there. I think not just to cash-based practices, but to those who want to have any kind of cash-based revenue with patients who are Medicare aged.
So can you have, if you have cash-based practice, do you even have to worry about Medicare?
What do you mean, do you have to worry about? I mean, like, can I see Medicare patients?
Can you see Medicare, or do you just exclude it completely because it's too much of a headache?
It's not too much of a headache necessarily, but I don't see a lot of Medicare patients myself because I'm not, if you're not a participating or non-participating provider with Medicare, and not non-participating provider is still a provider with Medicare, it's still a contracted relationship with Medicare. But if you have no relationship at all with Medicare, like I do, or like say Aaron LaBauer, you technically are not supposed to provide covered services, what would normally be covered services to beneficiaries on a cash pay basis, because there is a mandatory claim submission part of the law that says, if you provide covered services, you have to send us a claim. But if you're not in their system, if you don't have a relationship with them as a provider, then you can't send in those claims. So it's kind of this catch-22 scenario. So the only way that I actually see Medicare beneficiaries is if they invoke the one exception to that mandatory claim submission, which is basically of their own free will requesting that I don't get Medicare involved, that I don't send in bills to Medicare. So it's obviously going to be pretty rare that someone knows to call when they call that they need to say to me, hey, I don't want Medicare involved. You know, I just want to get treatment from you. But it does happen here and there. And then there are some practices that kind of been, well, it's all up to legal interpretation, and I'm not an attorney, but some practices say, yeah, we can see you, but you have to sign this form saying that you don't want us to send in bills. And I think that that's probably, you know, pushing the limits a little bit of the way the law is worded.
AKA so. Some people play in the gray area doing some shady shit.
Well, I mean, you know, shady is a relative term, whatever, you know, I feel my role is just laying out all the different, you know, components of the law and saying you and your attorney need to decide. But there are cash based, you know, no relationship with Medicare type practices that see a lot more Medicare beneficiaries than I do, but I'm pretty conservative about it.
WebPT is the ultimate EMR for physical therapy. You know that. One of the reasons is because they know ICD-10, and I don't. So I ask Heidi Janenga, COO of WebPT. Heidi, what the heck is ICD-10?
Well, ICD-10 is diagnosis codes on steroids. We're talking more than 68,000 codes. All HIPAA-covered entities must switch to ICD-10 on October 1st, 2015, or face claim denials. That's where WebPT can help. Our intuitive ICD-10 code selector is built right into our documentation platform, thus simplifying the patient diagnosis process. I encourage all of you to check it out. Visit webpt.com/podcast to request a free online demonstration.
Well, I'm glad you wrote a book, because it's going to take a while for my head to stop pounding from that stuff.
Sorry about that. We can get off that topic if you'd like to.
No, that's good enough.
That's good stuff to know.
Enough to whet people's appetite. Every time Jared writes a blog post, I'm just like, oh shit, I think I'm doing this wrong.
It's so a good thing he keeps writing posts then.
I just like back off on something like, oh, well, I'm just not going to see Medicare patients.
Oh, man. You don't have to turn them all away by any means, and certainly those who are non-participating and participating, there are ways that they can get them into cash programs and kind of balance out that revenue, you know, from different sources.
So. But it's also a good opportunity to create a relationship with some clinics around you. If you don't want to take Medicare patients, you know, you could be a resource, a referral source for some people around you. And it's a good way to build relationships.
Exactly. Yeah, it really has been too. Yeah, that's been, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, people are afraid to refer to another physical therapist. I mean, I think they might be more likely to refer to a neurologist or an ortho or someone that they think the patient needs other than PT. But I'm happy to refer to another like-minded practice or even a practice full of people who I know that, you know, I mentored, because I know that they'll still get good care. And, you know, every once in a while they'll throw me a bone as well. It's just the way it works. You know, you got to think of some of the people down the street as colleagues, not competitors.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I've got some PTs near me that love me because, you know, usually once every month or two, they're getting a new patient from me, whether it's Medicare or just someone who called and then but didn't realize I don't build insurance directly. And they're like, oh, yeah, I need to use my insurance. So I'll just send them off.
Yeah, I think that's a smart model to adapt versus just kind of being hidden in your little bubble, afraid to show anything, which is. That's just not good business. That's a very old school, closed off way of thinking. And you need to be a lot more open than that, because honestly, there's nothing unique that you know that somebody else already doesn't. So maximize your network and relationships. Speaking of relationships, Jared, you were recently married, right?
Yes, April this year.
How's it going, man?
It's great. We are a few days away from our 6-month mark, and I have to say, I didn't think it was going to be that different because we already lived together beforehand, but it really is. It really has been nice. It's just been a nicer feel to it simply because there's no more kind of planning of the wedding or of the honeymoon. And then just leading up to it, I think also before I asked her to marry me, there was a little bit of in her mind, like, is he ever going to do this? You know? And so like just the stress of it all is gone, and we're just left with this really wonderful, you know, situation. It's been great.
That's awesome, man.
It's great to hear.
Thanks.
How many times a day do you get asked when you're having kids?
You know, not too many yet, but that's because we're only 6 months in it. I mean, we've been asked a few times, and we actually it's, well, not to get too personal, but like beforehand, she was like, I don't know if she's going to actually get upset about me talking about this, but she's like, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to want to have kids. I'm not really feeling that drive. And I'm like, hey, man, I like kids. I'd be good with that. But I also wouldn't mind early retirement. So whatever you think, I'm down, you know? So, sure. But then like within 2-3 months afterwards, she's like, babe, I'm kind of feeling these feelings. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Didn't you say you wanted a dog though? we just got on the list with the Golden Retriever Rescue. We're going to try and start with a dog and you know, see if the kids come.
So you're going to have kids, God willing. So
we'll see. I'm going to buy myself a little time with a Golden Retriever first though.
I think you're shorting your time, actually, my friend. I think you think you're buying yourself time. No, right, really?
Yeah. No. Okay.
It's going to backfire. Well,
I have to rethink this.
My wife always wanted 6 kids, actually, and we're almost there.
You are insane.
Well, hey, I mean, no, haven't got them. When we got married, I didn't even want any kids. When she first told me that she was pregnant, I actually said, oh, like I sighed and I put my head underneath the blanket. I was lying in bed on my back. I pulled the blanket over my head. Whoa. And now I'm like shopping for vans.
Although, you know, your kids are like incredibly
trading
cute.
In my minivan. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome, but I just never even wanted a kid. I never even held my nephew before. And when I was like, when he lived with me for a year, I was 17, 18. I never even held him. You know, I just wow. like the first baby I ever held changed. Was my own.
So I feel like I should probably make the announcement now. We're my wife and I were expecting our second one on the way now. So she's a few months along, 16 weeks.
Congratulations, yes. Man. That's awesome.
Thank you. So, I mean, to get a little personal, because we talk about it a lot, we had a miscarriage a few months ago. And honestly, you know, out of everything that's happened, and I think a lot of people in business, you like to have some kind of air of control over things that you do. You know, I think you have a lot of people have that type of personality. A lot of people that go into business, and honestly, that was like one of the worst times because there is absolutely no control. You know, it's like you can't control anything in that situation, and it was incredibly tough. But you know, like anything else in life, you get through the. Get through the tough things to really appreciate the good things. So, and here we are, and a few more weeks, and we get to find out whether it's a boy or girl. So, we'll see. We'll start a poll: team boy or team girl.
Cool. Huh. Congrats, man.
Hey, thanks. Only God knows. They told us our second girl was a boy. They told us our second girl was a boy. So, even though we think we're having a boy now, I don't really believe it. And you can see why.
Wow. So. You never know. You're right. You never know, but I know it's kind of split. So I already have a boy, and you know, he's a really good kid. So we're always like, we're torn. Like we kind of want a girl because we already kind of have the boy, you know, so we never know. Unlike Urson, who has pretty much a softball team right now.
Yes, I do.
That's awesome.
A lot of girls.
You start with a dog, man. A dog's great to start off with. We started off with dogs, and we actually used to take our dogs to see Santa and get pictures with dogs. And Santa, you know, my wife would actually bring in these pictures of our dogs with Santa, and her coworkers are like, you guys need to start having some kids.
Yeah. We started with a dog, too. That's why I'm telling you, Jared, you are it's only a matter of time, my friend. Only a matter of time.
We're on the path, huh? Yeah, okay. But, well, I'm down with that. I'm good. I'm
families,
good with
that. Kids, relationship. It's all good stuff. You know, all part of the continuum of stuff that kind of keeps you whole and complete right along there with the business. You know, you grow it, you build it, you nurture it, and then you see where it goes, or you start a lot more like Urson and his family. And businesses, so you see the connection between the two.
I do have almost as many businesses as kids, actually. So
wow, yeah,
that's awesome. True. So Jared, just, you know, finish out, man. Thanks so much for joining us. For our listeners that do want to find that book, that want to learn more about it, or just find your blog post that we talked about, where can they find you?
Sure. If you're looking for, you know, specifically for the book, you can go to cashptmedicare.com. And then if you just want to see all my blog posts and podcast episodes, you can go to drjaredcarter.com. That's drjarodcarter.com.
Awesome. And we'll put a link of Jared's book, Insight and Everything, on the website. So check it out at updocmedia.com and head on over to the Therapy Insiders podcast tabs. It's all over the site. Just click on it. Jared, closing thoughts, especially for our DPT students or private practice owners. If you give them one nugget of gold, what would it be?
One nugget of gold about business in general or about cash-based practice?
Whatever comes to the surface first.
I would just say to realize that whether you're a DPT student or you know you've had a practice for 30 years, that there's always more to learn, and just to be a sponge and to be nimble, because you know things are always changing. And those who are willing to not just respond to those changes, but have kind of some foresight and try to predict what may or may not happen and be ready for it, are usually going to be the ones that do the best in the long run. So keep that in mind and always be a student of business.
Awesome. Couldn't have said it better myself, or you, Urson, right? Any closing thoughts, Urson?
Yeah, you know, to the hashtag DPT student crowd, I think that, is it possible for you to do this right out of school? It probably is. But like Jared said, and many others who have been on our podcast, I think mentorship is huge. And, you know, it could be someone local, it could be someone online like Gene or myself or Jared or Aaron. Anyone who has that kind of experience, you need to take advantage of that. But I would say also, you know, if you're even ever thinking about private practice or cash base in general, don't wait as long as I did. I mean, I waited like 14 years before I started my own practice. I just thought, oh, I'm in a saturated area. We get really low reimbursement. Like, why would I want to do this myself? But there's alternative models. You know, there's like the consultant model like I did. And now there's I just have like a table in a gym, actually two gyms now. And, you know, you don't actually have to start out with a lot of debt to start your own practice. So I think it's definitely possible. And, you know, even if you start a part-time job or you do home care on the side just to kind of make it work until your business builds up, you don't have to go all in, but it doesn't mean you can't get started either.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of creative models if you're willing to search out the creative models and partner with the right people. And a lot of times when you're dealing with mentoring in the business respect, sometimes it is a partnership, because the mentors that are already doing it and are successful a lot of times need a little bit more incentive. And that might sound greedy to some, but it really isn't, because you know 80% or 90% of something is better than 0% of everything. So reach out to those people, and not to say that somebody wants something all the time, but if you really want the people that are on the top of their game, a lot of them, like Jared, you know, it took Urson 3 years to finally hear his voice because he's so busy. So find the right people, but, you know, reach out knowing that it's still a business, and talk to them as people that are doing business things and are busy. And that comes back to understanding, empathy, and respect. And a lot of people resonate with that. So to close out, you know, speaking of mentorship, Jeff Moore and I do an e-mentoring program. So we have DPT students. We have a private Facebook group, and we do every other week we get together and talk about. Jeff covers the clinical stuff, I cover the business stuff. So we charge $29 a month, which is because, you know, it's geared for students. So we decided to make it very affordable, and for what you get, it's a ton of stuff. And we also do consulting on UpDoc Media. So if you're interested, if you're a listener of business, and you just kind of need to jumpstart your clinic, or check out your financials or get anything in order, check us out at updocmedia.com, and we have the business renovation consulting going on. So we'll be more than happy to help. And as always, we really appreciate all the feedback, the comments, and the emails, and most importantly, the interaction on social media. So the questions and the quotes from the podcast are really, really cool. And if you get a chance, check out Therapy Insiders on iTunes and leave us a review. I think this week we're in the top 10 medical podcast, Urson. Can you believe that?
Nice. We're moving on up.
Moving on up.
We have more than 10 listeners now.
Yeah, well, I think we're in the 20 to 30 range now. We're legit.
Nice. Nice. You know what? I don't know what people actually bet, or if that hashtag about whatever, Urson eating meat, well, Urson vomit or not, I don't know what your question was. I had a kind of a meat-filled weekend because I went home, and it's hard to have my mom, you know, just totally change the way she's been cooking for the last bajillion years. So I haven't had the best couple of days gastrointestinal-wise lately.
I would argue that you had a really awesome couple of days.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about the short-term feeling, so it was great, but you know, like, all my fatigue came back and everything. We'll see how this triple meat Chipotle bowl goes in December.
It's gonna be awesome. So check out the Garage Series, what Urson is alluding to. He won the bet, and I know you've been following that, so I will be buying Urson a triple meat Chipotle, and we will be periscoping him devouring the triple meat, and we'll see what comes of it. I think it'll be a surprise for everyone.
Right,
I'll be there for sure. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome. All right, Jared, again,
don't forget the beer.
And definitely, yes, definitely beer. Jared, thanks so much for joining us. We'll put all your stuff out on our site, and we'll get your book, and hopefully a lot of people will scoop that up and get their medical knowledge in their brains. So
sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, man. Thanks for taking the time.